The Monty Show. Holy crap, it's August 1st already. Wednesday, August 1st, 2018. Listen, public service, turn the music down. Public service announcement to start the show today. How do you know what I'm going to do?
You're going to say that I'm crabby.
Me?
Yeah.
No. Can I do my public service announcement?
Okay, or
should I just
go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay.
Public service announcement on the Monty Show.
Everybody, you should beware. Bring your children inside, close your windows, and lock your doors. Jake is crabby.
See, I mean, I told y'all that's where he was going to go with it every day. Every day.
Are you crabby?
No.
Okay. I know, you're a hard-working dude now. You got this big-time recruiting job, and... Mm-hmm. You know, I turn the music back up for you.
Right.
You could be Urban Meyer today. Oh, that'd be a good thing because he's getting paid to sit home. $20,000 a day is what Urban Meyer makes, and he's on administrative leave. We'll tell you why, and why is Ohio State having a very bad day, and it's not just Urban Meyer. And then Jake wants to take his crabby attitude and point it at Bill Clinton today. Okay, I'm not one to stand in the way. You want to get after Billy the Man? We're going to do that on the show. By the way, are you still eating at Chipotle? Are you paying your kids to play Fortnite? Why? Because they need coaching that you're going to pay for as well. And Tom Cruise doesn't watch porn on the internet. I asked him. He said he doesn't. You know, what?
I just don't buy it. Come on, Tom.
You don't believe that for one second?
No. Nope.
Okay, the story is Judd Apatow, the director, went on Stephen Colbert's show the other night and told a story that he was pitching Tom Cruise, him and Seth Rogen, were pitching Tom Cruise a romantic comedy. And Seth Rogen, being who he is, during the conversation, it's like, oh, yeah, man, I can't wait to go home. I'm going to, you know, dial up some porn on the internet and just feverishly pleasure myself. And, like, Seth Rogen's being Seth Rogen. And Tom Cruise interrupts Seth Rogen. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. Are you saying that if, and the quote from Tom Cruise is, if I get on the World Wide Web, there's people having sex?
Okay.
And Seth Rogen's like, hell yeah, there is. I watch porn every day. People watch it. Everybody does it. It's not a big deal. Tom Cruise, by the way, did never call them back and did not do the movie. And I'm going to say it's Seth Rogen talking about feverishly pleasuring himself. I could be wrong.
Was it something he said?
So do you believe... When's the last time you watched porn, Jake?
A while.
A week?
High school.
No,
sure. Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah, you're for sure.
So it's been 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't accidentally run into... last year on the show when we were watching... We're talking about Mia Khalifa and who was it? John Wall.
Mm-hmm.
I Google searched Mia Khalifa and may have seen some porn on the internet. On the World Wide Web.
See, that's how you know Tom Cruise is who he is. On the World Wide Web.
On the world, not the internet or the intrawebs, as some people like to say, which weirds me out. But on the World Wide Web...
Like outrage, bro. Like, what do you mean,
bro? It's in your hand.
It's called
the
internet. Okay, whoa, dude, come on.
It's in his hand. I meant his. See what happened? What I meant to say was it's on your phone, man. Anyway, so you don't believe Tom Cruise?
No,
I do. I think Tom Cruise is one of the strangest. Of the strange. First of all, he's a Scientologist, and those people are a little left to center. I'm not saying I judge. Those people are a little left to center. Tom Cruise is the weirdest of the left of center dudes. Like, he is way weird, right? Ask Katie Holmes, who's hot as hell, and he dumped her. Well, she dumped him. But anyway, here, no, there. The point is...
You know.
So I just think it's weird. Like, I'm the guy that says pornography is the great destroyer of men, and we're going to talk about Tiger Woods here in a minute, but... I'm the guy that says pornography is the great destroyer of men. And I mean that because I think when you watch pornography, it's a proven fact that it changes the chemical balance in your brain. And I believe long-form exposure to pornography, like daily porn watchers, I think have trouble in relationships. I think it warps the way they look at their women. I think the expectations of your sex life change, and you want to do terrible, grotesque things to your wife because you think that's normal because you watch porn every day. I'm not sure Tom Cruise has sex on a weekly basis. Seriously. Like,
yeah, dude, I don't know, man.
Would it surprise you if Tom Cruise hasn't had sex in a month?
I guess. I don't know, dude. I have no idea.
Like, 6 months.
Yeah, that'd be surprising.
A year.
Yes.
It would not surprise me. Because I'm one of the people who thinks, A, he's a robot. Okay, I've watched the Oprah interview where he jumps up and down on the couch. It's freaking weird. Okay? And having grown up with Tom Cruise and seeing Risky Business and Top Gun, and I love him as an actor. I really do. But this is not a dude I want to hang out with. If you said, hey, Tom Cruise wants to golf with you, nah, I'm good. I gotta go to the dentist. I gotta get somebody to pull my fingernails off because I don't like he worries me that much.
Okay,
like I'm scared I would look into his eyes and be turned into a statue or something. Anyway, I'm off the reservation. Point is, Tom Cruise claims that he's never watched porn on the internet.
Sure,
whatever you say, Tommy. All right. Speaking of liars, wait, did I just call Tom Cruise a liar? Follow the show on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Make sure you find us in the iHeartRadio app or wherever you got this podcast, really.
You know.
Because you already listened to the podcast. But thanks for downloading it. Thanks for listening. We appreciate that. Urban Meyer is currently not a football coach. He is on administrative leave at Ohio State. And if you don't know the story, let me get you up to speed very quickly. His wide receivers coach and recruiting coordinator, the same person as his wide receiver coach and recruiting coordinator, is accused and has been arrested, or not arrested, because the police report mysteriously changed. Who knew? But Urban Meyer had an assistant coach that allegedly beat his wife on a regular basis. And I say allegedly because let's see what happens. There's a restraining order. And the point is, there's pictures, there's text messages. It's pretty evident that this woman was beaten on a regular basis by this wide receivers coach, in my opinion. Urban Meyer knew about it in 2015 and, according to many, did nothing. And he fired this receivers coach last week, right before Big Ten Media Day. And then at Big Ten Media Day said he knew nothing about the 2015 incident. And then that really upset the woman who had been abused. So she sent Brett McMurphy, late of ESPN, who, by the way, wrote this story and broke it on his Facebook page. Hire the guy. She sent him a volume of text messages, including conversations between the victim and Shelly Urban, who is, or Shelly Meyer, who is Urban's wife. And it clearly states in the text messages that Shelly Urban knew about it. And she told this woman, yeah, I'm going to have to tell Urban about it. And at this point, when those texts were exchanged, the woman had left the wide receiver coach. The wide receiver coach threatened the life of her new boyfriend. There's a restraining order against this guy. Like, it has just been crazy. Urban denied knowing about it. And by the way, didn't fire the guy. So any way you slice it, Urban Meyer's in deep water here because these are the facts and they are undisputed. Shelly Urban knew about this. She said over text with the wife, I have to tell Urban. And the wife said, great, knock yourself out, do it. Okay, so did she tell Urban Meyer? And Urban Meyer did nothing, knowing that his assistant coach was beating his wife. Urban Meyer did nothing. Okay, Urban's going to lose his job for that. Oh, but then you're going to say, well, maybe Shelly didn't tell her husband, Urban. Oh, well, here's a problem. Because Shelly Meyer is a registered nurse and an instructor, a member of faculty at Ohio State. And Title IX would require her to turn that coach in. So if she didn't turn that coach in, Shelly Urban's going to lose her job and likely would be in trouble with her nursing license. So there's all kinds of things. By the way, By the way, the law in Ohio says that you, as a medical professional, do not have to call the cops when domestic violence occurs, but there are no weapons involved. If there's a knife or a gun or a weapon or the person's life is in imminent danger, then you have to call the cops. But there's no, according to those protecting Urban Meyer and his wife, there was no proof her life was in danger.
Right.
Well, a judge disagrees because there's a protective order out, which in Ohio, to get a protective order, you have to prove your life is in danger. So it's this whole muddy water, dirty deal where a powerful football coach allegedly knew of domestic violence by one of his assistant coaches and did nothing about it. Should Urban Meyer be fired for this?
Yeah, either way, he should be fired for it. I mean, you have to take responsibility either way, whether you knew or you didn't know, right? Like, it's your wife. Like, so I'm just going to go ahead and say he knew. I think that's a fair assumption to make. Number two, you're the head of one of the biggest programs in the country, and the idea that this is going on and you didn't know about it is just an absolute excuse.
Let's be honest. He's one of the most powerful men in sports in this country. Urban Meyer is arguably the best football coach in America. Or, you know, guys at Alabama, Nick Saban, would have something to say about that. But Urban Meyer is arguably the best coach in all of football. He is arguably the most powerful man in college football and inarguably one of the most powerful men in sports in this country. The idea that he didn't know about this, and we know the abuse happened because we've seen all the pictures. They went through a divorce. There's a restraining order out. There are text messages, and it's heartbreaking. The woman also, the victim of the domestic abuse, sat down for an interview with I think it's called The Stadium, never heard of it. And she detailed the fact that when she was beaten for the last time, she reached out to her mom, her dad, and the abuser's father. And they all said, wait, slow down. You don't want to go to the cops because then he's going to lose his job. And then what are you and the kids going to do? And it's like, really? You're not advising this victim to get out of this relationship. You're more concerned about this guy losing his job. And by the way, this also happened at Florida while he was an intern for Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
These two had another incident, which was not their first. She was pregnant at the time. I mean, this is nothing new. Urban Meyer knew about this.
Yeah, there's no doubt he knew about it. And that's why I say he should be fired either way. I mean, I think when you look at where we're at with this kind of situation in our country, whether it's politically with, you know, guys like Bill Clinton or Donald Trump or, you know, whoever you want to point to in politics.
Well, Tiger Woods.
Yeah, and then so in sports, Tiger Woods, Zeke Elliott, Jerry Jones.
Michigan State, Larry Nassar, Tom Izzo,
Stanford,
Baylor.
Stanford the swimmer.
Ooh, the Stanford swimmer,
you know,
good pull.
Like, I just think there's so many examples of this happening and people really doing nothing about it but just sticking to the policy that's on paper.
Paterno is probably
Paterno,
the perfect one.
Yeah, you know, and that situation is somewhat similar to the logic of this situation. Nobody wanted to out the coach because they didn't want to rock the boat. And so now all of a sudden someone gets fired, and then this whole thing just comes out of nowhere.
And then there is the other shoe that dropped at Ohio State today, and that is the Ohio State wrestling sexual abuse scandal that's breaking. And if you don't know this story, one of the most powerful men in Washington right now is Ohio Representative Jim Jordan, a Republican, who is in line to be the next Speaker of the House once Paul Ryan retires. And there are allegations now that Jim Jordan, who was once the wrestling coach at Ohio State, turned a blind eye to sexual assault and sexual abuse of his wrestlers. The story goes like this. There was a doctor. He was performing medical procedures on these young wrestlers, these men, who were not young, by the way. They were college students. And the one story goes that one of the wrestlers broke his thumb, went to see the doctor. The doctor tried to pull the guy's pants off, and there was a small scuffle that ensued. And now that this has happened some years ago, and Jim Jordan's about to become the Speaker of the House, whether that's timing is coincidental or not, these wrestlers are coming forward and saying, hey, Jim Jordan knew about this, and did nothing to help us. Okay, well, this comes out, and of course, several weeks ago, Jim Jordan's like, oh, I never knew anything about it. If I had known, I'd have taken action, all this yada, yada, yada. Well, now today, it turns out that the wrestlers dropped another bomb, and that is that former coach Russ Helixson told wrestlers he could help them release a statement to support Jim Jordan, according to texts between Coach Helixson, who was an assistant to Jim Jordan at the time, and these wrestlers. And in these text messages, this Coach Helixson says, well, hey, if you don't like what's being said about Jim Jordan, you can release a statement. I'll help you craft it, and I'll release it. I'll put you in touch with people who can put it out in the media. And the wrestlers were outraged by it. One of the wrestlers said, you're a special part of my coaching life. I'm sorry you got caught up in this media train. I'm praying for you guys. And it goes on to talk about how the coach says in this text message is, if you think the story that got told about Jim is wrong, you could probably write a statement for release. And the wrestler says, no, I'm not doing that. Jim Jordan knew because I told him directly.
Yeah.
Is how one of the wrestlers answered that text message. And it's like, boom.
Yeah.
And this is the same day that the Urban Meyer story is coming out.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is going on in the Big Ten?
I'm not, like, you could say the Big Ten, sure, but I'm just saying all around, like, you just look at how many examples do we need before somebody just goes way over the top with their disciplinary action and says, look, we're going to make a statement. We're gonna take a stand, and here's the deal, Urban. You're fired now. This is a violation of your contract. You're not getting any more money. And we're gonna, for lack of a better example, this would never happen. But we're gonna revoke wins or something, like something just outlandishly, disciplinary that says this stuff has to stop.
Yeah.
And this is what we're doing to make that point.
Well, it's interesting because there's a lot of people that believe this victim, this woman, the wife of this coach, is going to sue Urban Meyer and the university.
She should.
For not protecting
her. She absolutely should.
And by the way, I wasn't joking earlier when I said that Urban Meyer is making $20,000 a day. He is on paid administrative leave.
That's what I'm saying. The guy's already stupid rich. Like, he's already made his money.
20 G's a day. But here's my thing. Are you really... The only way Urban Meyer gets out of this is by absolutely destroying his wife's career. Because the only thing that I can reasonably think that he would say is that she never told me. But then, I read all these text messages, and there's a part in the text messages where somebody asked Shelly, and I don't remember who it was that asked, but somebody said, what does Urban think of this? And her reply is, Urban doesn't know who to believe. So he did know about it.
Like, yeah, there's no way for him not to know. That's what I'm saying. The question is not whether he knew or not. The question is, what should the discipline be? Because he did know. He didn't do anything about it. So now we're here. Because if he had done something about it the absolute first time that his wife told him about this or that he knew about it.
2009?
Yeah, 2009. Like, we wouldn't be here having this conversation. He'd be worried about, camp and success this year on his football team.
And his statement today was a joke. He's like, I just want to take the distraction away from my players. It's like, screw you. Come on.
Yeah.
This is the problem with Urban Meyer. And, the stories about Urban Meyer at when he was a coach at Utah, groundbreaking, the original BCS buster, like just an incredible job. Yet he's putting, BYU logos in toilets and urinals so that guys can, defecate and urinate on those. It's like he's always been a guy that's happy to have Aaron Hernandez on his football team.
Mm-hmm.
He's always been the guy that's happy to have the Pouncey brothers on his football team. He's always that guy who's willing to play fast and loose and deal with a little dirty garbage and get down in the mud as long as he wins.
Yeah.
And that always comes back to get you.
Yeah, always.
Always comes back to get you. But if he gets fired by Ohio State, you can't tell me that somebody wouldn't hire him instantly.
I'm sure they would, but that's not, again, for Ohio State, that's not your concern. Like, your concern is making sure that you keep the image of the institution. Because if I'm an athlete, again, we talked about this with the Pac-12 last week, and their absolute, you know, futile efforts to promote their, you know, brand.
Yeah.
If you're an athlete, why would you go to Ohio State at this point?
Like, oh my God, are you kidding? Because Ohio State football players play in the NFL. Because when you go to Ohio State, you get an incredible education. There's reasons to go to Ohio State. Why would anybody go to Penn State? Yet Penn State's one of the better football programs in the country, Saquon Barkley. Like, the memory is, it's over at Penn State. Does anybody even talk about Jerry Sandusky anymore?
Nope.
Actually, they do, and the sad part is, they still go. Like, that's what's wrong. This is, look at all of the great sex scandals in our country, whether it's Catholic priests, whether it is Michigan State. I mean, just pick the one, because there's been just so many. People still do it. People will still support Michigan State Athletics. People will still support Tom Izzo. People will, even though he had a coach and players that committed sexual atrocities, Larry Nassar, people will still support USA Gymnastics. Even though they're not going to clean house, people will still support them. We just overlook it.
Yeah.
We just overlook it, man. People will still support Baylor Athletics.
Why does it matter to me, right? Like, that's the sentiment. Like, yeah. Like, hey, you know, I'm a freshman at Baylor. Why does any of that matter to me? I'm not the one who did it.
Yeah, I'm here to
who
get
cares?
Paid.
I'm here to get my GPA and here to get paid. Like, that's it.
People will still go to Louisville.
Yeah.
Even with the Rick Pitino scandals and...
That's what I'm saying. Like we wonder why things don't stop because nobody takes a stance. Nobody goes...
A player was murdered at Baylor. And nobody talks about that anymore. There was rampant sexual assault in the football program. People don't talk about that anymore. They're like, it just... I guess time heals all wounds. You know, like Tiger Woods. And I'm as guilty of this as anybody with Tiger Woods. I root for Tiger Woods. I wanted him to win the Open Championship. I was rooting for him to win the Open Championship. I hate what he did to his family. I hate what he did to his wife. I hate what he did to Lindsey Vonn. I hate who he is as a man. But I still watch him when he golfs. And I love watching him when he golfs. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like every sport has that guy. Like I can't stand Alex Rodriguez, but I still watch Sunday Night Baseball. You know, like I just as a human being, he's not a great guy. You know, like
yeah.
we don't care. We just look past it, especially in sports. I mean, Bill Clinton, you know, with the Me Too movement really has come back and gotten flung in his face significantly. But Bill Clinton for the longest time got a pass on the Me Too movement. Look at Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones doesn't give a damn about women.
Nope.
Doesn't. Greg Hardy, you look at Zeke Elliott. Like, look how much he defended Zeke Elliott with an overwhelming amount of evidence.
Yeah.
Still supported him. And now this anthem thing, like the NFL has had to tell Jerry Jones to stop talking about the anthem policy because he's screwing it up for everybody.
Yeah.
Yet we can't wait to see them boys play football. Like, that's all anybody cares about. This is Varsity Blue. This is Friday yeah. Night Lights.
Yep.
You know, nobody cares
that's
about...
That's what I'm saying. Like, so the idea that we're asking, should Urban be fired? Well, that's not the question you should be asking.
Why are you investigating? You should have asked him to resign.
Yeah. He you should know? Have resigned already.
Why is Tom Izzo still the basketball coach at Michigan State?
Time heals all wounds.
This is a guy who knew about coaches... A coach assaulting a woman, did nothing, assaulted another woman. You know, like, he knew, like, the list goes on and on, and on and on and on. Like, why is Rick Pitino still the head coach at Louisville after he has an extramarital affair with a woman in an Italian restaurant, she gets pregnant, he pays for an abortion, and he's still the head coach there?
Yeah.
Never mind that, he had a recruiting scandal? We got to fire him. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I mean...
What are we doing?
We're setting an awful example. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, it seems like the both of us are being overwhelmingly negative on it, but I just think that's where it's at. Like, there is no positive.
But, and I don't mean to overly politicize this, but this is the Donald Trump America now.
Well,
he has normalized this.
I think it's normalizing it started well before Donald. I think Donald has just made it super easy now. Like in his time as president, you're right. He's you know, it's cool to just like, yeah, it's not a problem. Like, pay her off. It's cool. You know, like, yeah, that's not what it should be.
Silence
like,
her. Hide
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you know, hide
cover
it.
Cover it up. It,
yeah.
And I always say this, and apparently people don't believe me. I'm telling you right now, the cover-up is worse than the crime.
Oh, it is.
9 out of 10
if
times.
If you just own up to it and take the punishment and you're done with it, like, that's it.
If you look at just politicians, if Bill Clinton had said, yeah, I got a BJ from Monica Lewinsky in the Oval Office. What, you're worried about your approval rating? Oh, you didn't do that. You lied? Oh, that's right. You got impeached. Oh, that's right. You got impeached, Bill. Somehow he stayed in office, luckily. But he got impeached because he wouldn't admit he got a BJ. From what are sexual relations? Like, dude.
What do you mean?
She pleasured you.
You're not Tom Cruise, bro. You're not getting a pass.
Yeah, you are not pure as the driven snow, sir. But like, I think Bill Clinton, I think Donald Trump is the perfect example of this. Why is Donald Trump trying to pay people off? Why not just say, yeah, I had sex with Stormy Daniels. Yeah, I did. You know, like, yeah, I had sex with this Playboy model. Did, you know, she was hot. I'm a guy. She's a gal. We had sex, you know, like all of this stuff. There's going to be people going to jail over the Michael Cohen tapes. Right? Like Paul Manafort lying through his teeth. This freaking meeting at Trump Tower, the Russian baby adoption meeting that wasn't about baby adoptions. I don't know why I'm saying it like that. Anyway, but the point is, it's gone from, well, it was nobody to, he didn't know about it, to, oh, dude, why are, just, you know, like write it on the paper.
Yeah.
You know, what are we doing? Like, it's, when you lie about stuff like this, you're always getting caught. When you are paying people off to be quiet, you're always going to get caught.
Yeah.
You relied on the National Enquirer to keep your secret, Donnie. You're going to get caught.
Yeah.
And I think he's normalized this kind of behavior now. So there you have it. So I agree with you. I think the baseline is Urban Meyer getting fired.
Yeah.
And what should really happen is you should never coach again.
Mm-hmm.
You fostered.
Well, that would make guys think twice.
In a sport of football, and I love football, but I've kind of, over the last,
it's a sport of violence.
Yeah, over the last year, I've really kind of come to the rationale of who I am as a football fan. I'm passionate about football. I love the National Football League. I love Notre Dame football. I love Pac-12 football. I'm a football fan. But it's a violent game. And it's athletes and participants, including coaches, commit violent acts. They're asked to be incredibly violent and commit violent acts on the field. And that is very difficult for some of these guys to turn off. I got to tell you this Brian Dawkins story. Brian, one of the best safeties going into the Hall of Fame this weekend, talking about how he had uncontrollable fits of rage and anger and he wanted to kill himself as a rookie with the Philadelphia Eagles. And there was a moment where Brian Dawkins couldn't take the pressure. He's at home with his wife and young child, and he slams himself into a door head first, scared his wife so much she called one of his coaches, who came down and forced him to go to treatment, and it saved his life. He's talking about this openly now, that he wanted to kill himself. He thought about ways to kill himself. And he straight up says, well, I didn't do it because I wasn't sure that my wife would get my lifetime benefits and the life insurance. Like, that's who these people, that's who, think about Junior Seau.
Yeah.
Think about Dave Duerson. Think about these guys, Webster. Think of like all of these unbelievably talented human beings who gave their life to violence. So then we hear about guys in Kansas City who kill their wives and then go to the parking lot at Arrowhead Stadium and commit suicide. You know, you need to be real that violence is a significant problem. Look at the Houston Astros. Trading for a guy who is under suspension for 75 games for savagely beating his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And he hasn't even been through the criminal process yet.
Yeah, and it's a bonehead move.
And they traded for him to be their closer.
Yeah, you're suborning violence against women. That's what you're doing with that move.
Like, what are you thinking? So, yes, there's a lot of money, there's a lot of power, and there's a lot of violence. And I don't know how to fix it. I don't have the Nostradamus crystal ball. I don't know how you fix it.
I don't think it's rocket science. I really don't. I think it's very simple. You have to go over the top and make guys think twice. If you're going to do this, this is what's going to happen.
You would have thought that Ray Rice would have been the Ray Rice thing.
Perfect opportunity to make a display of, hey, dude, this is the NFL. That's not how you handle things. No, they didn't do that. Nope. They tried to cover it up.
They did. And you'd have thought that would have done it. And I don't know. I'm sure there has been domestic violence in the NBA. It doesn't come off the top of my head right now. But baseball, football, hockey, pretty much every major sport. There's a story, believe it or not, NASCAR. Just Google search Greg Biffle and this divorce she's going through with his wife. She's accusing him of videotaping her. He put cameras in his... He had this mansion, Greg Biffle. He claimed he did it for security. He put cameras in, I believe, his master bedroom, a second bedroom, and his bathroom. And he videotaped his wife, her mother, and she claims showed those videotapes to friends of his. Like, it's in NASCAR now. Like, this is happening.
Yeah.
I think you got to end guys' careers.
Yeah.
And Greg Biffle, by the way, hasn't raced since 2017, so he's a personality. But you got to end guys' careers. If you made a public statement, if the NCAA said, hey, Urban Meyer is prohibited from ever coaching football again because he covered up domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would go a long way.
Yeah, it would rock the boat for a few days, and then it would go quiet for a while, and then there would come a time where people are like, oh, what's Urban doing? Because you lost your career.
Well, what would happen the next time a coach was involved in domestic violence is my question. Would Tom Izzo?
You'd have to do the same thing.
You would have to. So there you have it. All right. Can we talk about Fortnite now? No, let's talk about your favorite restaurant for a minute.
Okay.
So I've told Jake that I'm not comfortable eating at Chipotle. We ate there, in fact, the other night, you know, because my wife is still up in Los Angeles. You just hang out there.
Yeah, I thought she just kind of disappeared. I wasn't aware that she still lived here.
My wife is up in L.A., and I sent her a text today. I'm like, are you ever coming home? And she's like, yes, I miss you. I love you. And I said, well, actually, I'm just tired of feeding the dogs and eating cereal for three meals a day. And she laughed at that, thank God. She didn't realize I was being serious. Anyway, I'm not being serious. I actually miss my wife terribly. My mother-in-law had knee replacement surgery, and it's been a rough road to hoe. So my wife is up in L.A. taking care of business, whatever. Anyway, point is, so one of the nights we went to Chipotle. Did I complain about it? I even ate the queso. I had brown rice. I had brown rice, double black beans, double pinto beans, pico, corn salsa, and guac.
Mm-hmm.
Ate really well. And then what story did you tell me?
Yeah, so in another great story for Ohio, the Sawmill Parkway location, wherever that is.
Okay.
Yeah, so apparently now 368 people have, reported getting sick off of their food at that location.
I'm never going to Chipotle again. I'm telling you, why? This is my point. You know people's intestines are rotting out through their belly buttons, and you have no problem going and eating there. Like, how are you cool with this?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's not... Just because it happens at one Chipotle doesn't mean it's going to happen at every single Chipotle.
It's happened at multiple Chipotles. It's not just one Chipotle. It's
right, but I'm not
multiple
saying it's
locations.
Just one Chipotle. There's tens of thousands of Chipotles.
Right, but you just said, well, just because it happened at one doesn't mean it's going to happen at all of them. And all I'm telling you is it's happened at more than one. And I'm not willing to roll the dice with my colon. I'm not. Right?
Like, so where else are you? Name me a place that's healthier than that. It's quicker than that.
Taco Bell.
Okay.
I'm not willing to eat at Taco Bell. It's been a minute since I ate at Taco Bell. I'm not willing to eat at Taco Bell. I agree. There's not one. That's a sad thing. It's And I half joke about my wife being up in L.A., but it's serious. Like she, when she's home, we eat vegan and vegetarian. I feel better. I sleep better. My resting heart rate's 2 beats lower a minute. Like, when my wife is home and she cooks me 3 meals a day, my resting heart rate is 54.
You're obsessive. I love
when it. When my wife is out of town and I'm eating cereal and gut-rotting, colon-destroying Chipotle, it's like 56 to 58. Like, it's not rocket science. The answer is, you know what the real answer is? We should never eat out again. Like, I was at Whole Foods today, and I bought their whole wheat pizza crust in the bag. You got to roll it out and cook it and stuff. And it's like, that's not hard to make. We buy those brown rice quinoa packets at frickin' Costco.
Yeah.
Nuke those things with some vegetables. That's a great meal. But no, I want chicken tenders. And I haven't had a burger in a long time. I would love Five Guys for dinner. But I don't eat French fries because they're killing you. You know, I probably eat French fries once a month now because it's so in my head.
Yeah, but you're weird about this whole conversation. You're a little different about it.
No?
You're Tom Cruise about this.
Okay, don't ever say that. Oh, God, I looked over at the TV, Jake. Cubs are up 9-1, and Tyler Chatwood's warming up in the bullpen. Great.
Dude,
by the way,
he needs reps.
Cole Hamels had a nice debut for the Chicago Cubs today.
Mm.
That's nice. Mm. All right, let's talk about Fortnite before we end the show. What is this, season 6?
I think it's 5.
Okay, season 5 of Fortnite. How
I could
do you
be
like
wrong.
It? I like the desert.
I love it. I love the game.
I like the desert. I like the boat. Yeah, I'm really
I love the golf cart. I love the golf cart. I love being able to hit golf balls randomly off huge mountains. Like
the
just
Tommy gun.
It's fun.
I like the Tommy gun.
Yeah, the Tommy gun's cool. I mean, it's
the
fun.
Shopping carts.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good time.
Dying a lot.
Yeah.
Like, that's cool. I wouldn't pay. Now, I win Fortnite. Like, I won a game this morning. I played a couple games. I played like 4 games this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is about freaking Fortnite. The first game I play is my best game by far. And then it just goes downhill. You know, like I won the first game I played in Fortnite. The guy that I was playing against, that was the last two of us, he fell outside the storm again. Like, you remember you died?
Mm-hmm.
Jake was one of the final two in the Battle Royale, and he fell outside the storm, and it killed him. That's exactly what happened to that guy.
Yeah.
So it was awesome. So I win occasionally. I probably win, what do you think I win? 1 of every 20 games I play, maybe?
Yeah.
Something like that. You're probably 1 in 15. If I'm 1 in 20, you're probably 1 in 15.
Yeah, I mean, we're top 10, probably 1 every 4.
Would you ever pay somebody to coach you so you could be better at Fortnite?
If I was serious about gaming professionally.
Parents are paying $25 an hour for their kids to have Fortnite coaches. And it's not because they're trying to be professional gamers, because Jake and I were talking in our pre-show meeting today about, oh, these gamer tournaments and Fortnite's awesome. I get that. I totally get that. This one lady, I think it was on Good Morning America, they did a story on this. This one lady's like, oh, it was hurting my heart to watch my son get that ass whoop on Fortnite. So I paid a guy, I found him on Craigslist, and I paid him $50, and he coached my kid, and he still didn't win, but he was having more fun. I love in my minivan. And it's like, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Like, you're paying a Fortnite coach to parent your kids
and
so
then
you can
enjoy
feel better
when he
about
lost.
Yourself. And she literally, well, and the reporter said, well, did he win? And she's like, no, but he had a lot more fun. He enjoyed it more. And it's like, go put your Lululemons on and get in the, shut up. Like, what is wrong with parents? $25 an hour? I'm available. I can teach your kid to open the crates and with the balloon, the hot air crate.
Pretty sure that's not what they're teaching.
And I can teach you how to ride the carts down the hill and the ramps and stuff.
Swing.
Swing. Like, I can teach you how to jump in the warps and, you know, hit the... I'm available is my point. $25 an hour? What is wrong with us? And we, hello? Like, go outside and play basketball. Go outside and get hurt riding your bike. You know, what? Go to the park and kick a ball. Go ding-dong ditch somebody, right? Like, do what I did. Worst thing you ever did as a kid, think about that. Worst thing I ever did as a kid is I lit bullets on fire in a barbecue at Spring Lake Park in Lincolnshire, Illinois. I mean, again, my everything bad I did as a kid generally happened with Keith Horowitz, who was my friend, who I have no idea if he's dead or alive. Hope you're good, bud. Anyway, point is, Keith Horowitz and I grew up next to this big park, Spring Lake Park, right? And there was a walking trail that had barbecues on it so that you could have a picnic. And his dad had lots of guns. I didn't get killed, thankfully. And we had a box of bullets. And we hit a couple with a hammer. Not smart. Nothing happened. But then we had like five or six left. I can't remember why we did this, but I want to say we had a couple left. And we had been lighting the Des Plaines River on fire with lighter fluid from my garage. I was a degenerate, I admit it. Anyway, so I had a can of lighter fluid. So naturally, we lit the frickin' bullets on fire. And we stood there, and the first bullet went pop! And then we ran because we were terrified. And I'm running down this gravel trail, and I just hear a bullet hit a tree right next to me. It was the scariest thing I've ever imagined. Ever. It didn't stop me from lighting the Des Plaines River on fire in Lincolnshire, by the way.
What are you doing, man?
You just pour lighter fluid into the water and throw a match on it, and it floats down the river until it burns out. It's kind of fun. My parents paid, like, huge money, I'm sure. Like, we had a bench. We had, like, railroad-tie stairs that led down to the Des Plaines River. Yeah. They built a nice bench and everything, and the one year it flooded, no, not good. Like, the Des Plaines River almost took my house out.
Yeah.
But you could sit down there and get bit by mosquitoes. We used to shoot BB guns because there were little fish that swam in the river, and PETA loves me, so I would shoot them with BB guns. it was amazing. It was amazing.
Can't do that in today's world.
No, because you would get arrested.
Yeah.
You would scare people.
So, you'd pay somebody to teach your kid how to play Fortnite better.
Okay, yeah, that's what we were talking about. You idiots! Like, now your kid is going to be fat, and he's going to eat more Doritos because you're paying him to have a Fortnite coach.
Yeah, and he's going to make $500,000 a month like Ninja does.
No, he's not. You know how rare that is? Are you kidding me? We're realtors. You know that not every... There's a top 1% and then everybody else does one transaction a year. A-holes. Anyway. Parenting's bad. Was I a good parent, Jake? I don't know if I was a good parent.
Dude, I don't know. That's an unfair question.
Why?
Because you can't ask your only child.
Hey, a-hole, why don't you just say, oh, you were a great parent. You're a great dad.
You know what? You were a great dad.
Aw, thanks. I appreciate that. I probably spoiled you. Whatever. You always had the nicest cleats on the team, though.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Always had a really nice glove. Your Nakona glove that you... Did you cuddle? You slept with that thing.
I think so. I still have it.
Yeah, you do. Anyway, point is, I was
a great glove.
I was a great parent.
Thing is perfectly broken in.
I was a great parent, and you had everything, and you're ungrateful now. It's fine. You're a millennial, right?
That's what we all are, man.
I'm kidding. I can't believe I didn't die as a kid. We did so many bad things. Oh my goodness. I have to tell the ding-dong ditching story again at some point. Some dude almost knifed me because we ding-dong ditched him in the dark in the forest. It was terrible. Anyways, make sure you find me on Twitter, The Monty Show. MONTY, The Monty Show. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.